Hello everyone and welcome to the Fresh Heart Project podcast. My name is Zareen and I'm your host. I am incredibly excited about this episode with Robin van Creveld. He is the founder of Community Chef, a social enterprise which is passionate about making good food accessible to all. He uses food as a tool for change and puts people, not profit, at the heart of his philosophy. He teaches people who get neglected by traditional courses, including men who are isolated or vulnerable, and more recently, carers. He has helped thousands of people improve their cooking skills and nutrition knowledge, and I found it incredibly inspiring. I recorded this podcast about a year ago, but the interview and Robin's message is timeless. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did.
Also, Robin, thank you so much for sharing your time and your kitchen and your expertise. Really grateful.
My pleasure.
So, Robin, I'm going to take you back. When did you develop your love for cooking?
I've always loved to eat, and it's a simple thing. If you want to eat good food, it's best if you can cook it. So I learned to cook pretty young. My mum's a great cook. My sisters are a good cook. On my dad's side, my late granny, she was a, I would say she was a culinary artist. She came from Belgium and, you know, it was big in their family. So, as a child, I learned to cook.
And did you train as a chef?
I trained as a pastry chef. That's like the formal training, but I've worked in all manner of kitchens and I've run lots of different kitchens.
And having started off in that sort of line of work in the kitchens and as a sort of professional chef, How did your thinking about the way that food and eating food and going out and sharing food has developed? How did you then go from that to where you are now?
I guess I very soon realised that commercial food wasn't for me. I think I'm fundamentally a little bit suspicious of the commercial food world, and I had some strong experiences in my 20s, experiences of people cooking and eating together, using food, I guess, as the main tool for engaging hard to reach communities, and it stayed with me. You know, I had a significant several years of my life where I spent time in India, living in particular communities where food is the main focus, and I saw quite how powerful food is as a tool for change.
Tell us a little bit more about your trip to India. Why did you go to India and how long did you spend there?
I've been many times. I started going, I guess, because I was at university and friends were going to India and being tourists, being travellers. And I had, on the first time I went to India, I met a bunch of yogis, people involved in what's called karma yoga, the idea of doing good as a way of being more spiritually aware. And it really resonated with me. I'm not a Hindu. Hinduism was not my thing. But this format of cooking and feeding people who possibly are vulnerable, which is what they did in this particular ashram, it really stayed with me. And I came back to Britain, I completed my degrees, and then I went back to India for a year, lived in this particular community, understood a bit more what was involved in, I guess, the food system on the whole. When you're much more close to the ground where you see food being actually produced, grown and reared and then being produced into edible food, it's hard to ignore some of the, I guess, the gaps in our food system we have in Britain at the moment.
And is that what inspired you to then go on to create the Community Chef?
Yes, definitely. I had a vision. I wanted to have some work that nourished me, nourished other people, that was not commercial in the conventional sense, that didn't have profit at the heart, but had people and provenance at the heart, both food and communities. And I did it for about 3 years, just part-time. I set up Community Chef as an association, a not-for-profit, and made my living as a chef, also doing other odd jobs. And at the point that I guess I'd matured it enough where I realized it had legs, it had some, you know, it had somewhere to go, I didn't go full-time doing it for about 4 years. Yeah, I had other incomes as a way of supplementing my community work.
And in a brief nutshell, what is Community Kitchen and what is its aim?
Well, Community Chef, not Community. So Community Chef is a small organisation that I set up and run. It is an education and campaigning organisation. We use food and cookery as tools for both health promotion and community development. The Lewis Community Kitchen is where we're based. I set it up 10 years ago. The idea was to create a community centre that is all around a kitchen. And yeah, we've been running 10 years here. We run our programmes here, so community programme as well as a leisure programme of workshops. The kitchen is used by other chefs as an incubator space. So we help small food businesses get a foot in the door by having a commercial kitchen that they can hire at a very low rate. And so it helps incubate those businesses, helps them to get established. At the point that they're big enough or established enough, they move on. And we've helped incubate many businesses from this space. Currently, it's being used by about four different cooks. So every day is a different user.
That's amazing. And I think, you know, all of us are very inspired by it.
Thank you.
And what about yourself? What are your key signature courses?
Key signature. So I think it's good to just define that there's two streams of work with this. There's our community work, which tends to be for vulnerable people. At the moment, we've got our program for older vulnerable men, which is called Man with a Pan. So a lot of the men who come are single or widowed or carers. We have a very much a health focused program of work, which is our Cooking for a Healthy Heart, where we promote a healthy cardiovascular diet. And within that, we have a course called Vital Skills, which is around diabetes management and prevention. And the course you've seen today is a program that we've run this year and we will be running next year, which is around food poverty. It's trying to ameliorate and address food poverty by giving people the skills to cook and eat good food for less money. That's called Eat Well for Less.
What I love about you, Robin, is that you see a problem and you tackle it. You say, what can I do about it? And you right off get funding and actually, you know, deliver the goods. It can't have been easy. So can you talk us through some of the hurdles and challenges that you faced?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up to 20 years since I first set up Community Chef. And under the previous government, there seemed to be more, not just funding, but more money in councils and in small organisations to commission work. So this type of work, frontline community work that makes people healthier, that makes communities more cohesive. The current government, with their aspiration towards big society, which in some ways I really resonate with, I think it's a good idea, there has been very little money to back it up. So in previous years, the NHS all over the place in, you know, two or three counties that we work in regularly supported our work. They would commission work. They would commission train the trainer programs where we help set up community food programs in other areas because there's a limit to our capacity. So having a train the trainer program is, I guess, an essential step. So what are the challenges? Having to constantly look for money to do our community work. The fact that essentially I'm a one-man band with my mates, you know, a few friends who work for us. So there's four people who work for Community Chef. I'm the only full-timer. Being the guy that has to do everything, the marketing, the delivery, the funding applications, the evaluation. And when you guys leave here, cleaning the kitchen and cleaning the bogs. So I love being a one-man band and, you know, it's my thing and I put a lot of energy in. But yeah, it gets very tiring being the only guy responsible for it. I think other challenges, I would say the big general public health challenges, big general community development challenges. During COVID, what I've seen is a huge amount of inertia has set in. And so with vulnerable people, trying to get vulnerable people to engage with positive activities like cooking and eating together, it's always been a little bit tricky to get the people that you really want to work with through the door so that you can build their trust, build some empathy, encourage skills. It's always been difficult. Those who need the help the most are the hardest to reach. It's a classic conundrum in community development. With the 18 months of COVID, an inertia has set in that is very hard to shift. And so we are doing whatever we can to try and, I guess, just change the narrative. You know, it's good to go out. It's good to be with people. It's good to cook and eat together. Old-fashioned things. Human communities have done this since time began. And I think the biggest issue we have with COVID is that people have got out of the habit of socializing, got out of the habit of doing formal and informal education programs.
And I have to say what you're doing is so vitally important. So, you know, thank you for sticking with, you know, your program with Community Chef despite all these hurdles, because I, you know, it can't have been easy. And for me, as a cardiologist, as a doctor coming from that perspective, I can see so many potential benefits of this course.
Absolutely.
And can you talk us through some of the health benefits that you see in your participants?
Well, if we start with physical health, I've got a student who we started working with during COVID online, running online cookery classes for her. She has type 2 diabetes acquired in her 60s. She had a terrible diet and she also has mental health issues. So she's being supported by a diabetic nurse at her local clinic and also by a well-being centre. She went on three courses, online courses, and then when we opened the kitchen up again, she's been on two in-person courses. So we've been supporting her for over a year. In over a year, she has lost around 8 kilograms, which she definitely had to lose. Her blood sugar levels are right down. So you would say she has gone from being diabetic to pre-diabetic, which is an amazing achievement for her. In terms of her mental health, I met up with her son the other day, who I don't know socially. I just know him from her dropping her here. And he said, "Mum is so much happier. She's so much happier. She's going out. She's more gregarious. She's more confident." So you have base physical benefits from this work. People learn to cook food that is healthy, that is nutritious, that is vital. They can lose weight if they choose to engage with other things like, you know, calorie reduction, exercise, etc. The food that we do tends to be lower in salt, tends to be lower in fat, it tends to be very much whole foods. We keep meat to a minimum. It's not vegetarian, the work we do, but meat is kept to a minimum. In terms of vicarious benefits, things like mental health, which are such multifaceted issues, by people coming and learning something new in a friendly, convivial, supportive environment, it supports their mental health. We work with mental health charities and what are called well-being centres that support people with challenges, and they have seen the benefits in their client base.
And I guess the community aspect of it is also such an important, hence the title Community Chef.
Absolutely.
What does bringing that aspect of life to your programmes mean for you? What does the word community mean for you, and what do you think it means for your participants?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. I think for me, community is humanity. There's a base level of empathy that I have experienced. When I experience deep empathy, I find it much easier to exist in this world. I don't want to get too highfalutin or too spiritual about things, but at the end of the day, all human beings are, we're on this planet together, and it's much harder when you're on your own. The development of trust, the development and cultivation of empathy, for me, creates open-heartedness. It creates, I guess, this idea of we are supported, we are not alone. And in my own personal journey, I've had some mental health challenges, and I know that what community means for me in that is my family, my friends, and my co-workers, the people I work with, people who help you when you need that support. It's at the heart of the work I do because I would like to see the world a better place than we currently are in. I've got two children. And I come from a family of immigrants who, my grandparents were refugees to South Africa. They started again with nothing. My own parents moved to this country, moved to Britain in their 50s, which is a really brave thing to do. They left their community behind. They left their friends, their besties, everything they knew, they left in South Africa. For me, I left when I was 19. So similarly, I left my community behind. I know that when I've got people around me who I trust and empathize with, I feel happier and more confident.
And it's so important to have people around you, isn't it? And I guess, do you see that in the people that come here to your courses? Do you find that they develop a bond?
Often they do. We've seen really good friendships bloom through people coming here. So I have a bunch of folks who all travel over from Eastbourne together. They didn't know each other before coming on these courses. Now they know each other. They meet up. They socialize. They might never be besties, but they know each other. And it's much nicer to get the train over from somewhere to here with a bunch of people. I think this work does engender friendship. It does create trust. And, you know, there's an old adage about eating together, you know, like families that eat together stay together. Communities that cook and eat together definitely I guess they coexist in a much more harmonious, healthy way.
I think that's amazing. And I also think I've taught a lot in my career and in my life, and I sometimes find myself, in fact, I often find myself learning from everyone around me, everyone that I'm supposed to be facilitating. Have you found that as well? Have
Absolutely.
You learned from your...
Absolutely. You know, I've made this up as I go along. I probably shouldn't say that, but I've made this up as I go along. I trained when I was a kid. I did an apprenticeship in diamond polishing. I'm a master craftsman. I did that for 6 years, and then I had this big change in my life where I couldn't be involved in diamonds and the family business, which just wasn't for me anymore. And, you know, having had this big change in my life, this, I guess, kind of ethical awakening, you know, it set me on a particular path. And what I know, what I've realized is when I nourish other people, I nourish myself. So there is a selfishness there in terms of how I've done it. I've made it up as I've gone along. I learned how to facilitate by facilitating. I learned how to teach by doing a lot of education and then by teaching. I also did some formal teaching qualifications in many ways just to make myself feel a bit more pro in the world.
Speaking about the course that you're actually doing now, it's about food poverty. It's about cooking on a budget. And that is one of the toughest things, I think, to make accessible, to make healthy food accessible. How do you make healthy food accessible?
Well, what we did today, as an example, we focused on seasonal food. We focused on food that people can really relate to. So we did some fish and chips, fish cakes and sweet potato chips. In terms of what's seasonal, we used cabbage for our coleslaw. We did it in two ways. You know, we did a price comparison on what cabbage costs and what a tub of coleslaw costs. It's very, very simple. In terms of behavior change, how we address poverty, a cookery course with a community chef cannot address poverty issues. All it can do is give people some of the tools and the skills that they need to manage their budget better, to do things that are life-affirming and positive. You know, if we really want to address wealth inequalities and poverty, we need an absolute system and paradigm change. And as much as I'd love to do that, as revolutionary as I feel, I'm not sure I have that that capacity just yet.
I do think, though, that it is, you know, the small things that add up, and you working with a group of people and really helping them change would inspire them to then kind of talk to their family and help them to change. And so it's
absolutely
almost like this domino effect that
absolutely
you create.
You know, some of the great thinkers, some of the great revolutionaries of our time used this methodology. You know, Mahatma Gandhi was not a natural revolutionary. He was a very stubborn man who understood the power of inspiring other people to do activism in their own way. The same with Nelson Mandela, the same with a host of other community activists that we can think of. You know, I don't think, you know, I said this earlier, you know, people, you say to people, who wants change? And everyone puts their hands up. We all want change. But then you ask that same question, who wants to change? People are much slower to put their hands up because change hurts. Paradigm shift hurts. We've got very used to, you know, to a particular raison d'etre and status quo that we have. We've all got very used to that. And when you start really addressing wealth inequalities without system change, you're using a Band-Aid approach.
And that's why I think the work that you're doing is so important. It's, you know, it, you are taking people out of their comfort zone, but you're doing it in such a caring way where people feel supported and nurtured. And I think that is one of the beauties of your courses. And you've been doing it for a very, very long time now. Have there been any particular sort of standout stories that you think about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a student who's based near where you guys come from in Surrey, and he's very dear to me. And he came on many courses, or Man with a Pan courses, because he just liked coming back. He's a full-time carer. He's 82 years old. He salt of the earth sort of chap. He was a pattern maker, a carpenter who made patterns. And his literacy, numeracy was never very good. So he couldn't learn through reading, through didactic learning. He learned through doing. And he came back course after course. And I couldn't say no to him because he just really got so much benefit out of being there. And after about a year of coming on courses, he started volunteering with the program. And I guess the pinnacle for me of knowing something has really changed is when this particular chap started teaching other elderly men how to hold a knife properly, how to do the washing up properly, started talking to them about their issues. And this is a chap in his 80s who's the primary carer for his wife who's had MS for 25 years. You know, he has not had an easy life. And what I've seen with this work is that the reality check is a huge motivator for people. We think we've got it hard until you see someone else who's got it that little bit harder, and it gives you a bit of perspective. So when I think of kind of, if there was one person that stands out, it's this particular chap, because he got so much benefit out of coming on these courses, volunteering on these courses, becoming a trainee community cook. You know, it changed his life inordinately. The sad flip side of this is during COVID, it stopped. He doesn't use computers. He doesn't use mobile phones. So he couldn't really engage with some of the Zoom stuff we were doing. So I still get hold of him. I give him a ring. I call his daughter, make sure he's okay. But that activity that was giving him so much nourishment, both nutritional nourishment and the nice feeling of doing something, being involved, he hasn't had for 18 months now. So when I think about this particular chap, all the benefits he's got, and I think about the last 18 months where he's not been able to take part in any of our activities, I do feel sad. I feel a sense of responsibility to the communities and the individuals that make those communities, that we empower, that we help. Yeah. And hopefully when things start getting back to a little bit more of a normal flow, I can go back to that community and continue some kind of program with these guys.
Yeah, that is such a shame, isn't it? Because it sounds like he did exactly what we were talking about earlier. He took the messages from your course and then he's taking it forward and teaching others. And hopefully, I guess that's also been one of the tragedies of COVID, that it has caused such a big pause in momentum that was already developing earlier on.
I used the term inertia earlier. And when I think, you know, in basic physics, inertia versus momentum, they're at opposite ends of motion. And momentum is so important in community development. You know, you've probably seen this in the NHS. You have a really proactive doctor, or you have a really proactive director of a hospital or a CCG, and things start happening and things get better. There's money released to do positive things rather than just band-aid medicine. Things start happening. And that momentum brings other good things with it. And then there's a change in leadership. There's a change in management. And all of that momentum gets arrested. And all this positive change needs to start again. And often it doesn't start from the place that it achieved, you know, how far down the line it got. You have to go back again. And I see this time and time again with both health and community development. You have really effective, engaging programs happening with young people, with elderly people, with people on low income, and the money runs out and the project stops. And then a couple of years later, there's money for a similar thing. And they'll say, oh, wouldn't it be a great idea if you've got older men who are single and live on their own cooking together? It's like, yes, it would be. And it would be even better if we kept that momentum going.
And I guess that's what you know, an even bigger testament to what you're doing in Community Chef, because this is now post a big pause, but you're still keeping that momentum going. And I think that's amazing. So I do want to say that, I mean, I've been very inspired by your work, and I'm sure other people will be too. And I guess if someone is out there wanting to learn how to cook, what would you say, where should they start?
I'm a great exponent of give it a go. And so if someone wants to learn how to cook, I mean, your podcast will go out nationally. If people are in East Sussex and they want to come and do a course with us, they're welcome to go on the website, which is communitychef.org.uk. But I would say the starting point is just decide what it is you want to learn, find a recipe, follow the recipe, give it a go. Cooking is a craft, like any craft, whether it's, you know, whether it's playing an instrument or it's knitting or painting a picture. Practice is everything. The more you do it, the better you get at it. So, you know, you don't need to attend a course to learn to cook. You just need to give it a go.
And what's your favourite dish to cook and share?
Oh, that would be, I don't know. It's seasonal. Actually, I don't have one favourite dish at all. I love teaching people how to make bread. I've done that for years. I trained as a baker because I like the visceral nature of bread. I like the physicality of being a bread baker. I didn't much like the pastries and the cake, but I love the, you know, just the sheer scale of bread making. And what I find is I love teaching bread because I can see change in the individuals, mainly around their confidence. You teach someone to make a loaf of bread, it seems like something very difficult, but actually it's four ingredients, a little bit of science, a little bit of alchemy, a little bit of time, and hey presto, you get this lovely product at the end. So I would say overall, I love teaching people how to make bread.
I absolutely love that. I think I'll look at one of your courses as well, and particularly when it comes to bread making, that's one of my barriers. I love cooking, but bread, I kind of get a mental block about, I think. Now, I just have a couple of final questions. And one of them is, if you could sum up Community Chef in three words.
Sorry, Zareen, can you start that again? Yeah. Having noise from outside. So start your question from the beginning.
Yep. So I have a couple of final questions. And one of them is, if you could sum up Community Chef in three words. Four words. Okay. Four words. What would they be?
It has to be the strap line, which is good food for all. I would have to say. When I first set it up, I didn't call it Community Chef. I called it Cook in the Community. It's another four words. But then it sounded a bit too much like Care in the Community, so I rebranded. But yeah, good food for all. I think fundamentally I'm a humanist. I want a more level playing field. I think, you know, access to good food is a fundamental human right. It's enshrined in you know, our basic human declarations, you know, the UN's Declaration on Human Rights is that all human beings are entitled to a roof over their heads and good food to eat. And I've never got away from that.
Amazing. And my final question is this, if you could go back now to your younger self, what advice would you give young Robin?
How young?
Let's say 20s.
20s. You're not alone. I think I suffered terribly from isolation and loneliness in my 20s. I had a social group, I had friends, but I don't feel I really had community. And I think being an immigrant coming to this country, I have often felt somewhat alone. And I think now I have a family, now I have a really vibrant community around me of friends and colleagues. Yeah, that simple thing, because if you feel supported, everything's easier.
That's wonderful. And I'm so pleased that you do now have such a wonderful
community
and an amazing family. So thank you, Robin. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story and your kitchen and your food and your time.
My pleasure. And thanks to you guys. Yeah, you guys are great.
What an amazing man. I am truly grateful to Robin for being so generous with his time and wisdom. You can find links to the Community Chef in the show notes. Please do check them out. Take care, everyone, and thank you for listening.